that all of a sudden it just seems to be teaming up to be the same thing or similar to that. And this week, I came across the horn of salvation. And I was looking at the horn of righteousness. And that intrigued me, the horn of salvation. And we find that in Luke. And Zacharias is speaking of that, and he's pulling that out of the Old Testament. But we'll get there. But when I began to think of the horn of salvation, and I thought, well, I read it too about the horn of righteousness, and that's in the Old Testament. What about this? Why did we hear that in the verbiage? Why did God have that put in there? And so that began me on a trail of, first of all, the horn. The horn. When we look at that, it could be speaking of that of a horn of an animal. It could be speaking of a flask, a cornet. Or it's used as a symbol of strength, power, and victory. And when I read that, the strength, power, and victory, the horn of salvation has come. The power, the victory, hallelujah, has come to us. And then I began to understand why God took me this direction. Because last week, remember I shared the one time in scriptures where Jesus, it says, rejoiced in the Spirit, was when those 70 or 72 came back. And they cast this and cast that. And he says, do not, you know, be rejoicing over that, but that your name is written where? In heaven. That your salvation has been made. And that was the time when Jesus said that, and they gleaned that, that he leaped in joy. And I think, I can't remember what it all meant, but you could envision him jumping and shouting and a joyful thing. Jesus, hallelujah, they've seen it, they've understood it. Salvation is more important than casting out demons and doing all of these other things that I can give them that strength and work through them to do. So then when I got into this, the horn of salvation, that we read that Zacharias begins to speak here in Luke, the symbol of strength, power, and victory. And I'm here to tell you today, folks, that with salvation comes that exact thing, strength, power, and victory. Amen? We have to have salvation first. We have to have our lives changed. We have to have our past forgiven, and we got to move on and change to that of what God wants us to be, what God wants us to do. And that takes me out of the equation. How about you? I have got to resign myself over to say, here I am, God. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for cleansing me of my sins through that of the blood of Jesus who hung on the cross. We've got to keep some of these fundamental things understood of the cross, Jesus hanging on the cross, the purpose of that. He didn't have to if he didn't want to, but it was the plan of God to put him there to fulfill everything that God has in plans for his creation. And so the horn of salvation, and let's just look at this in Luke 1, 68-69. It says, blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. Look at that word redeemed. Amplified would blow it out to this, deliverance and redemption, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. That salvation, a mighty and valiant helper, the author of salvation. Salvation is this, deliverance. Have you been delivered? Through that of salvation. How about this? Preservation. Have you been preserved because of your salvation? Amen. Deliverance, preservation, soundness, prosperity, happiness, rescue, general well-being. The word is used both in a material, temporal sense and in a spiritual, eternal sense. The New Testament especially uses the word for spiritual well-being. Salvation is a present possession. We possess salvation. Amen. We possess, as you possess your salvation, you are possessing something that is of that of strength, power, and victory. Amen. Your sins have been forgiven. You're going to live in eternity with that of God. You're going to come back when the second coming of Christ comes. We have the power, not me, but I've got the power, the victory, and the strength through that of who is in me. Amen. Oh, man, you've got to sense that. You've got to get that into your spirit to the point of knowing who you are in Christ. And it all begins with that horn of salvation. So let's take a look at this. The Passion Translation says, "Praise be to the exalted Lord God of Israel, for he has seen us through eyes of grace and comes as our hero, God, to set us free. He appears to us as a mighty Savior, a trumpet." That's that horn. "A trumpet of redemption from the house of David, his servant." Again, we find this translation in the Hebrew is a horn of salvation, which should signify strength and a fighting power. Now, how many here know once you got saved, you are getting set up for a battle? The enemy is going to come, and he's going to battle you as much as he can to take your salvation away from you, because he's going to bring up your past to say, you were so bad, there's no way that anything can be forgiven that you've done, and he wants to put you right back down to where you were at. But you have got to remember, you've got the power, the strength, and the ability through that of salvation of who God, Christ in you through the Spirit, amen, where you can stand against those enemies, you can stand against that devil, and you can put the devil in his place and say, get out of here. I'm a child of God. I've got the horn of salvation. Hallelujah. Those are fighting words. Amen. Those are comforting words. Those are encouraging words. The horn of salvation. So let's take a look real quick. We know that in this time of Luke, okay, we go back to the very beginning when the angel of the Lord came to Zacharias and told him about his wife's going to have a baby. And he went, oh, yeah, okay. And sure enough, about 9 months, she has a baby. But here's the thing. Let me turn back here. Because he kind of doubted what was being said, and he says, the angel, this is 1:19. Luke 1:19. "The angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and to bring you these glad tidings." Aren't you glad that God sends someone to you to speak to you about the situation you're into, or about to be into? "But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." We have got to, here again, understand, and realization is, God has his time, and I've got my time. But guess whose time gets superseded by? My time gets superseded by that of God's time in all of my situations, in all of what I go through, whether it's illnesses and skirmishes and relations and this and that or good time, whatever the case is, God's time is his time, and he's never late, amen? I might think he's late, but he says, I'm never late, I'm there just when I want to be. But what you've got to be, Tim, is you've got to be in faith to know that I heard you, know that I see you, know that I've got your best interest at heart, and I will not leave you, amen. He says that, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You become a child of mine, you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord, you have that horn of salvation, you have what again? That strength, power, and victory through that of Jesus Christ, and I am with you always. But I have to learn that, and I've got to realize that. And just like Zacharias, you know, my words will be fulfilled in their own time. That's what God is saying. And he might be saying that to some of us here today. You've been asking and praying and seeking and going and doing and whatever. But God says, I know what you need. I know I can handle it. I know I will handle it, but it's going to be in my time. And he's going to tell us probably, I tell you what, while you're waiting for my time to come, here's what you ought to be doing to me. Praise me. Praise me. But I am in a difficult time. Praise me. But I don't know, but you better know that I'm your God. And all you need to do is just worship and praise me and take your mind. How many times, and how many here know that if we just take our mind off of the problems and put our mind upon that of God and Christ and praise him, and do what? Praise him, that we will begin to see God's hand unfold in these situations. It's by faith. I know my God has not left me. Has anybody here felt at those times that, oh God, where are you? That's a normal thing, I know. That's our flesh. So it's not a sin to sit there and say, well, I've had those times where I've wondered, like, okay, God, where are you in this? But then I quickly realize, because he begins to be with me and share with me, And I reverse back, you know, the scriptures begin to come back into my thoughts about where he talks about leaving and not leaving and always with us and being there for me and preparing a way and that I'm a child of his. But these words will be fulfilled in their own time. Now, as the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple, but when he came out, he could not speak. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned them to remain and remain speechless. And he departed to his house. And it was not just a few days or a few weeks that he was mute. It was months. Months. Right, to be pregnant has taken how long? Normal pregnancy is 9 months. This guy has not talked now for 9 months. Elizabeth conceived, it goes on. The baby is born. And they believed when the baby was born that that baby's name would be the male, would be that of the father. They said, well, you're going to name him Zacharias. No, no, we're going to name him John. Well, how can you name him John? You don't have anybody in your name in your family named that. It's because it was given to them by that of what? God. So they're breaking some cultural things there. And some of those things we've got to do in our days here is we've got to break some cultural things that we have grown up with or grown into or out of, because God does not deal within our cultures of what we do. God does something different. God does something to change that, to say it's not going to be the same old. It's going to be my way, is what God says. So anyway, they name him that, and that caused a flurry, like, ooh, what happened there? So now we find Zacharias' prophecy in Luke 1:67. Now his father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he prophesied, saying this, Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David, in the house of his servant David. Thank you, Lord. Jesus is that horn of salvation. The kind of horn meant here is not a musical instrument. Now, as we got into this, or as I got into this, it began me on a journey of horns. The ram's horn, all kinds of horns, the bull horn, all the rhinoceros and all these things. And, you know, you look at the natural and the animal kingdom, and an animal that has horns, that's their protection. That's their fighting thing. That keeps them safe. It's an amazing thing in this site that I was on, and they said, go to, just put in lions and water buffalo, or lions fighting buffalo. And it's over in Africa. And it's amazing, as lions and all try to go after these water buffalo, the buffalo with their horns out like this, a lot of times out in the skirmishes, the lion comes out on the wrong end. The horn is that for perseverance, or preservation. Deliverance, preservation, soundness. So look at that in the animal, and the goats, and we look at that in the rams back in the day. And the horn. The horn meant a lot. And back in the day, you would talk about, and we're not going to get all this, but you know, you had the horn of salvation, the horn of righteousness. You get into the oil in the horn, oil into the ram's horn, and then use it for anointing. Put it into the ram's horn and anoint the head. And so it was used for many things. We also can go back and look at the areas of, in the Old Testament. And the thing is about this is, when you hear this, when it was shared in Zechariah and Luke, the horn of salvation, that's the only time really that the horn is used in the New Testament there with that of Jesus, talking about the horn of salvation. We have to go back into the Old Testament to really begin to get the flavor of what, when you hear the teaching or the sayings of a horn of the anointed and the horn of the righteous and all these, it's all back in the Old Testament, because that's where they really used the horn. And they took these ram's horns and they would hollow them out as well and use them, and now we have what we call that instrument that you would hear somebody play or blow in a sanctuary. You know, the shofar. And that was that of bringing in the battle, bringing in the victory, bringing in the power. Amen. Go back to Joshua. And what did the trumpeters say? They went to before the walls fell down, and they were to go around. There was seven times. It's just the praisers going around, and they were to be blowing their trumpets as they went around the wall. And they kept blowing and blowing. And after that seventh day, they stopped and they blew, and the people shouted. And it wasn't until the people shouted, the walls went flat. All this is trying to draw an understanding to what the horn was about in scriptures, and when we read it in scriptures about how it was used, whether it was for that of oil of anointing, used for that of a trumpet or a coronet, used to proclaim victory, to bring fear into your enemy. And so we look at the horn in the Bible. It was used for many different things. And so as we look at it here in Zacharias speaking about, and he raised up a horn of salvation, what that is, we can look at that real quick. The kind of horn meant here, again, is not a musical instrument, but the deadly weapon of the wild ox. This is the only place in the New Testament where Jesus is called a horn. So we must go back to the Old Testament. I want to go back to Samuel. We're going to go to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel 22. And it's really, and here it is, 2 Samuel 22. This is where Zacharias got this out of 2 Samuel. We're looking at this here, praising for God's deliverance. Then David. Now we know David had a lot of different things with God. He was a good guy and he was a bad guy, but God loved him, okay? And God elevated him. And that's what it's all about. To be elevated into any position or things to serve for that of God, here's what we've got to do. Allow God to elevate that person. No matter where they've come from, if God has a task for them to do, he's going to bring them through even some of their days of sinning and forgivenesses and things, and he's going to elevate them and bring them up. And we know David's went through a whole lot of things with the fighting of the giant and all of this. But here's where we want to get to in 2 Samuel 22. It's talking about where David now, he's praising God for his deliverance. Today, sometimes when I'm sitting or going or whatever the case might be, and I just begin to reflect, I thank God for my deliverance. My deliverance is that of my salvation, to take me out of where I was at to that of where I know where I'm going with that of God in eternity. There's that victory. But here it is. Then David spoke, 2 Samuel 22. Then David spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day when the Lord had delivered him from the hand of all of his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he says this, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation." My shield and the strength of my salvation. The horn of salvation. Here we get back. That of strength, power, and victory. Now, I went on with that quite a bit. And you could just read all the way through 22. Chapter 22. And the multiple things that David was just thanking the Lord. We get over to 47. The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let God be exalted. The rock of my salvation. It is God who avenges me and subdues the peoples under me. You know, David is just going on and saying who his God is. And I think that leaves for us today that, you know, we need to be a David. We need to begin to proclaim these things of our God. Amen. And what God is bringing you through. What God brought you through. Get ready for what God's going to be with you when you go through something else down the road. But don't let up on knowing that God is your deliverer. God will get you through it. On verses 1 through 51 in Samuel, in chapter 22, 1 through 51, we find David is reflecting back to the power and the working of God throughout his life. Everybody here has a past. And I, you know, probably any one of us would say, I really don't want to open up my past, you know. And that's okay. Only God knows. But we all have a past. But we need to look at throughout our life how God has helped us. And then how God has forgiven us. And how God has become our God. So David is reflected back on to the power and the working of God throughout his life in 2 Samuel 22, verses 1 through 51. God values his people's devotion to worship. Learn to praise God for all the victories and the spiritual gains. I think sometimes we get to the point where we get the victory and we forget who got us the victory. We might remember the day of, but a day or two later, The world comes in and so many things are taking place that we forget about that victory we had 2 weeks ago. We forget about that victory a month or a year or 5 years back because life gets busy. But it is important, it is very advantageous to us to recall and to remember that how many times God has been in our life, in our situation, who he has pulled us out of and set my feet, okay, off of that miry clay onto rocks, amen, to stay. But he has been there with me, to work with me, to help me, to bring me through life's trials, life's struggles. But we need to worship him. And I need to go back and thank him many times. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for Jesus, for sending him for me, for cleansing me of my sins, Lord. Thank you, God, that you love me enough, that you've done this for me, as well as for everyone else, okay? But God values the people and their devotion to him as they worship him. We also need to remember that with that of the horn of salvation, or say now the horn of righteousness, how many here are righteous? Everybody should be able to raise your hand. Everyone here is righteous. You got Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So we don't have to wonder. See, the enemy wants us to wonder. The enemy always wants us to think about the past. And I'm so unworthy. Yes, I know I am unworthy. But it's through Jesus Christ, the blood, the new covenant, that places me now in a place that the past is the past. And where I am at now, I have been reconciled back to God, and I'm a child of God. How about you? And so when we get into this now, the horn of righteousness, now we also have to realize that, well, maybe we'll find out here as we begin to get into it. So I began to see that word righteousness. So I thought, well, this is well and good. I like Luke. I like how Zacharias talked about that, you know, the horn of salvation. Praise God, I've got salvation. Thank you, Lord, for my salvation. Thank you, Father. Not right now. Let's say as a body. Just say, Lord, thank you for my salvation. Amen? You know, sometimes you've got to hear yourself say these things. So many times the enemy says, just whisper to yourself. Just think it in your head. You've got to get it out of here, into here, and speak it so that these things hear it, so that you begin to believe it. Sometimes we don't believe ourselves when we go, I just said, thank you, Lord, for my salvation. But in the vocal part of it, when the Spirit stirs me, I can go, thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord, for my salvation. Thank you, God. Hallelujah, glory. I'm no longer defeated. Oh, Lord, you're with me. Hallelujah. You've got to speak these things out so that you hear it as well as the devil hears it. Jesus never thought in his thoughts to say, remember in the temptation in the wilderness, you know, 40 days? It doesn't say that Jesus thought, get thee behind me, Satan, or don't tempt me. Jesus spoke to the devil. You got to speak to your problem. You got to speak to the situation verbally, because it's almost like that of a trumpet, maybe. I don't know. That's just me making that up right now. But it's hearing it with your own ears to your own understanding. And I'm going to tell you, you get into a part of a time of a pity party and you just keep it in, you'll go deeper. But if you begin to realize who you are in Christ and begin to reclaim some of these things that God has done for you, hallelujah, you will build yourself back up. Not because I'm building myself back up, it's because the Spirit in me, that of God in me, is increasing in me, and I begin to sense it even more and more, and I begin to feel that power, I begin to feel that peace, I begin to take away no anxiety, and I can just say, whoo, hallelujah, glory to God. It's almost like back in those days when people would exercise and you'd get, you know, different endorphins and all released, and you have a high. It's your body saying, hey, you're doing good, you're releasing these things in your system. You begin to praise. You begin to shout. You begin to use your voice and to proclaim. Why, God, when they went around that the city, you know, in just Joshua, it wasn't like, he did tell them what? To be quiet. Again, just like Zacharias. Be still. Don't say nothing. But then when the order is given to let go, you let go and you shout. Sometimes when I get so frustrated at times, believe it or not, sometimes I shout. How about you? That's being honest. It's just like that's what happens. We so out here by myself, in the car, I don't care, out back, in my house, whatever. There's something that gets you, and after a while, you've had enough is enough, and you just begin to shout, or you say, devil, get out of here. Until you do that, the devil ain't going to leave you. Guess what? We're not possessed. The devil's not inhabiting me. You know, I'm not demon-possessed, but the spiritual realm, things are happening and things are taking place that I know it's in the spiritual realm. So the only way I can get to that spiritual realm, sometimes I might have to shout. Shout of praise. Shout of worship. And that's what I'm saying is we've got to remember our first love. We've got to remember back when that horn of salvation, when I've got that and when I received that, hallelujah. And we forget that ability and that strength and that power and that victory that God has put within us. It's short-lived in many people that are Christians. I am not the only one, but many of us could go around and you can look at people that you know that are Christians, truly Christians. But you look at them and they're living a defeated life. And it's not that God has left them, it's just that they have forgot the power that is in them through that of salvation and what Jesus did for them. And when we become a child of God, the power that God has for us. That we are what? In His army. God's got an army marching through this land. Deliverance is their song, and there's healing in their hand. And everlasting joy shall be upon their heads, hearts, something. And in this army, I've got a part. Don't leave the army of God. Bless your heart, Ina. She said, I couldn't wait to get back to my church family. That's what church is about. God says, that's why I like corporate groupings together of people of like-minded faith to those type things to where we're a family. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. See, there's a power in unity. I was telling Dan, I love it during the times of agriculture when they're putting the fields together and the planting, and then two-thirds of the way through or whatever the case might be, just go around and here's one of those parables I talked about last week, how God talks to me in these things, but even around here. But I said, I love to look at the fields, and I love to look at the very fringes of the fields. And we've got it here, and you can find it out here, over here, wherever their field. And you'll always find the corn out there now is like this. But if I get in this one corner up here, they're like this. And they're not in the full body of the whole field. Now, that's just the way he planted it. The seeds fell here. When they came and they fertilized it, what happened? The fertilizer didn't go over there. It just stayed in this path. But what that shows me and why it is so vitally important for people to stay connected to a church family, it's not because the church wants your money, but it's needed to take care of situations. But it's because you need the protection of the other sheep with you. And we need a shepherd. And I'm humbled to be a shepherd. I didn't call to be this. I didn't go to school to be this. This was not me. But I've been honored by God, and I honor, I say, Lord, okay, here I am. And it's only because all I had to do, and all he's looking for is people to say, here I am, I'll do whatever you want, God. I'll do whatever you want to honor and to glorify you. But we have the sheep, we have the shepherd, we are looking and protecting and one another. But here again, just look at the crops and those that are on the very fringe. A, they don't get the fertilizer to grow with the rest of them, and they're wilted. Christians, many of them, stay on the outsides of the churches or the very fringe of their church. They're like this. The body is like this. They're like this. They don't understand why they're not like this. What's going on in my life? Why can't I fight it? Why am I weak? Why am I this? Build me up to keep me going, to have the strength, to persevere, to have victory. If you want victory in your life, you've got to stay connected to the body. Amen. To have victory in your life, you've got to stay connected to God. Now, we can stay connected to God outside of church. I'm not saying that at all, because he's always with us. But there's something about it when you come into a gathering and we pray for one another, we cry with one another, we rejoice with one another, our voices lift up in one accord. Praise you, Jesus. So look at these fields. Now, sometimes they're a way to where the irrigation, it doesn't go all the way. And they don't get watered. What happens when we don't get watered with the Spirit of God? We wither. What happens if we stay out of that flow of the river? We wither. It is so vitally important. I'm just telling you guys, look around nature. God's hand is all over, and you don't have to read the scriptures. You can understand the scriptures to a point and understand these things, but begin to look at the natural, and God will tell you these things about why it's important to be invested in a church, why it's important to be invested in a body of believers, why it's important to be in a church that speaks the truth of God, call sin what sin is, call what glory is, and to know that we all are having that power of what? God in us through that of the Holy Spirit. I would love that we all speak in tongues, but maybe people don't understand that. I speak in tongues, but it's not because of those that don't doesn't mean you've lost salvation or you don't have salvation. It's just another gift that you need to ask God for, and God will freely give it. It's not to be standing out and go, well, I speak in tongues, I'm a very spiritual person. No. It's just that I love my God and I want all that he's got for me. So that's all I want. But just look at the nature and things around you. And you begin to see. You show me somebody that's missed the church for many weeks and months. And I'll show you a dry spirit. Now, they may be getting filled at home and all that. I'm not discounting any of that, but sometimes when that person's not here or whoever, it's like they're not part of the body, and how can we pray and how can they pray for me, you know, type of a thing. So church attendance is very important. And as we look around our society of today, we notice that church attendance is really on the decline. It's not growing. But that's in God's hands, and we leave it at that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Real quick, the horn of righteousness. Righteousness, acting in accord with divine, our moral law. As we follow God and his moralities, we are that righteous. You break those things and you become the unrighteous. Now you will find in the horn of righteousness that you can go in the scriptures, and when those that were at one time righteous with God and they went away from him, other idols, they began to do other things away from him. They looked at their things and surroundings and said, we can do it better, or whatever the case might be. They may have had that horn of righteousness, but guess what God can do with that horn? You can find in the Old Testament where the horn is cut. You no longer have that horn of righteousness. So, in Psalm 75:10, all the horns of the wicked I will cut off. And that's talking about strength. Here again, the horn, talking about strength. So those that go against God, those that rebel against God, even though they were serving him at one time and full board with him, they had that horn of righteousness. What it says here, all the horns, all the strength of the wicked, I will also cut off. But here's where we're at. But the horns of the righteous shall be exalted. The horn here in verse 10 is symbolic of power. And so may have the thought of not, you know, just the thought of power. Okay, just leave it at that. Symbolic of power. So I began to look at that. And I said, okay, horn of righteousness. And all you have to do, and I'm going to read this to you here. And then I forgot I need to throw this in real quick over here. But regarding when I said we are the righteous. In 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he made him who knew no sin, that would be who? Jesus. For he, God, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for Tim. Are you? Use your name. That Tim might become the righteousness of God in him. It's not my righteousness. It's not my ability. It's not I was born in a great family, a wealthy family, whatever. It's nothing of all about me. It's all about Him, and Him being that of Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. So there we are. You're the righteous. Amen? Aren't you glad? Children of God, that we are the righteous of Him. And back in Psalms, all the horns of the wicked, cut off. But the horns of the righteous shall be exalted. As a child of God, you will be exalted. Isn't that exciting? And you don't have to exalt yourself. God will exalt you. I've heard of people in the body of Christ and men that I've talked to that they have nothing as far as pastoring that of a church, but people will come up to them and say, "You're a pastor." And they go, "No, I'm not." And some would say, "No, I'm not, and I don't want to go there," you know? But it's something about them, and people see that. God is exalting them, and that person sees something in whatever it is that they say, "You must be a pastor." I was at a store a long time back when I worked with the company I worked with down in Illinois, and a person walked up to me in the back aisle, and she just came up to me, and I'm just standing there, and I didn't know her, and she came up to me, and she says, and looked at me, and she goes, "You're a Christian, aren't you?" Wow. Was my halo... I don't think I put my halo on that day, you know. I wasn't carrying a Bible. I wasn't wearing a cross. All I had was just a tie and my name badge, and she just came up and said, "You're a Christian, aren't you?" I said, "Yes, man, I am. Praise God." But it's things like that, to how God exalts you and brings you. I've had people, I just learned today, where somebody was asked about, would you consider becoming our pastor at our church? Not me, I mean, Somebody in a church body that I'm aware of. And it's like, but they knew where this person stood. They knew what this individual is about. And it wasn't that. That's just, I think God exalts. And He exalts all of us. You will all be exalted by Him in different things. But it's let God do the promotion. Amen. I hate it when you got people struggling to be a pastor. It's probably not your call. And if you are struggling and fighting to be it, don't do it. Run from it, as Pastor Hoblett would say. But if truly God has a call on your life, you're not going to outrun God if He's got a call on you and He wants to place you someplace. Your life will be miserable. But if you don't have the call and you begin to be a pastor, you will be miserable. And that's just in anything in God's service as we serve Him. Don't you like when people have to come in and tell you that I'm a prophet? Oh, really? You shouldn't have to say anything. Your actions, your revelation of things will elevate you, and people will say, "Wow, you're a prophet." Now, you can be called that, and people say that. You know, we name people coming in. You know, people, "I'm an evangelist, I'm a pastor, I'm this." When I go away to people and introduce myself, I hate to even say the word pastor. I'd just rather say, "My name's Tim. What do you do?" "Well, I go to church a lot." "Every Sunday. You must be a pastor, because not everybody goes to church every day, you know." But it's more than just the calling. Let God do the rising up and exalting of you. But that's what this is all about, with that of righteousness. God just wants us to be humble. And He will use the humblest and all to serve Him. Amen. And once we get that pridefulness, and that's what a lot of that, you know, the horn cut off and all, is pride. You begin to go out there and say, "Look at what I've done. Look at what I'm doing. Look at what I can do. Look at my abilities. Look at me." I always tell people, don't look at me. Look up. Look to God. God is our source. God is where all of this stuff comes from. I have no idea. Thank you, Lord. Now, quickly and I should have bounced over here real quick, but remember when I talked about the horn of salvation, the symbol of strength, power, and victory. So here we go as we wrap up for today. As salvation. Amen. Everybody here saved? I hope. The strength in Christ once I have salvation. Isaiah says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." In Philippians, "I can do all things through Him who strengthens me." Hebrews, "For the moment, All discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Now, it is not always simple and it's not always fun to be disciplined by God. But I know He's loving, caring, and He's fair. Amen. And He still loves me. What about Ephesians? That according to the riches of His glory, He may grant to you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being. 2 Corinthians, for the sake of Christ, then, I am content. I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. We already talked about 2 Corinthians 5:21. These are things, Romans 8:37. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who's loved us. We can go on and on in regards to the strength that we have. And that strength came to us, and we would not have that strength for us until we first did what? I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. The horn of salvation. That's the first step. And then all these other things will be added to you, and God will promote you and use you in miraculous ways. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm looking out and seeing some righteous people, some strong people. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. Thank you, Lord. All righty. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for this glorious and wonderful day. Lord, I pray in some way, Lord, whatever I have said, Lord, that it was you saying it. And Lord, I apologize if I messed it up, Lord. I pray that you would just kind of clear it up in the person's hearing and thoughts, Lord, whatever it might be. But I pray, Lord, that your word goes forth as it has and that it'll minister as it should into our lives. I do thank you for that of the horn of salvation, Lord, for that is where it begins. And from there, Lord, it just gets better. Thank you, Father. We thank you now in Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Lord, as we go this week, I know you're with us. And Lord, I look forward to next week as we gather again to hear from you, to gather again to praise and worship together. I thank you, Lord, as well for that of the giving that is done this day and tithe and offerings. Thank you for the faithful giver, Lord. I pray for those, Lord, that as they give, that you too, Lord, will continue to provide for them and their household, and that you will enrich them, Lord, with their pay, Lord, with increases and salary and bonuses, whatever it might be. But, Lord, your word tells us that as we tithe, that, Lord, and that you would rebuke the devourer. And so, Father, right now I thank you for that as we faithfully give, that not only does your word say you will open up heaven's windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that we cannot contain, but you also say that you will rebuke the devourer. And the devourer is doing nothing but wanting to steal, kill, and destroy things in our life, Father God. And so I thank you for that. And Lord, we love you. We love you, Father. And thank you, Father, right now for this wonderful time and for your blessings upon us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.